Previously on Half Party.
Last time on Half Party.
Half Party!
There was a... Damn it, every
can
fucking
we do,
time.
Can we do it again? Because my falsetto is not there. Previously on Half Party.
You know, I'm scared of it now.
Let Lionel lick Lily's lucky
letters. Is it going to sneak up on you? It comes every time.
Exactly. Wink, wink. Story of your sex tape.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Previously on Half Party.
Last time on Half Party.
Half Party! Get caught up in the half party! Yeah! We are Wild Stallions! Oh, that was too much?
That was like, you do it that way every time.
All right.
That was perfect.
Are we still going? It's still rolling, right?
We're just going to cut it out. It's fine.
All right. No, I mean, fix it in post, right?
Yeah. I always fix it in post.
Go for it. He's a master.
Okay, cool. There was a firefight! A battle royale of the ages!
Sunday!
Exactly! It felt like a Sunday! Delicious! Every enemy known to the tournament all collapsing in on the ring as Solo and Fen Davenport duke it out mano y mano with Merrick, or should we say, Saint John Reginald. Do we have... No, we don't have, like, a little voice in...
You want that?
Saint John.
Reginald Saint John!
That's the one. And there was a firefight, fists a-flying, the collapsing of the arena, everyone brawling, and then... Papa shows up. Papa opens a portal. Merrick goes, "Come on, Solo! Take my hand!" And Solo, with one last breath, knocks the ever-loving crap out of Fen Davenport.
Tom
write it in the
night.
History books. It happened. They ran through the crowds, ran through the portal, went to Harold Hargrave's office.
That guy
and
was
I'm actually remembering what happened.
That guy
now.
Was a dick.
I
he hurt
Solo.
Tootsie. He hurt Tootsie.
Saw a collapsed Tootsie hanging out of a safe and just...
Who would
you know,
do
he,
such a thing?
He, you know, the thought in Solo's head was that, you know, Tootsie was dead and Solo went berserk.
Someone had to pay the price.
The keeper had to be deleted.
The iron
deleted
price?
From everything.
And how did that make you feel?
Yeah.
How did that make you feel, me or Solo feel good at all. So like Solo, you know, it was a moment where, you know, there could have been tears, but they were rushed into his fists, and his fists just had to
go on
punch like they've never punched before.
I'm very proud of you for that. That's hard to admit.
Yeah.
It's hard to admit.
And then, you know, thank goodness for such a good friend as Merrick. Because he jumped in and started stabbing, too, just oblivious.
Fucking right.
He's like, are we doing this?
It's go time.
We're doing this?
Let's just curb stomp his ass. Because he's not coming back.
No. Merrick gave him two death saving throws. Solo finished him off.
There's no gnomes anywhere that can bring him back.
No. No. His face was collapsed, if you will.
So then
and
we,
I will.
We,
I did.
We grabbed Tootsie.
Tootsie came with us.
Dapa.
You saw your papa. Papa left us in a field. He gave us the chips. He did leave you, but it wasn't in a despicable.
He's fine. He's just laying the groundwork.
It was actually kind of nice to see you and your papa, and that's what happened. That was the episode.
Got it.
And nothing else happened.
Got it in one.
No, that was literally all of it. In I don't know when we started this.
That's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah. Who just did? Somebody just open a beer?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Half Party. I'm Bjorn Falk. With me, as always, I have Daniel Diegnoff.
Yep.
And Justin Smith.
Justin's not here. It's his good friend, Reginald St. John.
Reginald, I've been meaning to talk to you about your contract.
What? Is there a problem in the writer?
A little bit. You asked for $400,000.
That's not
per
a big
episode,
deal, I don't think.
And Dan can't come up with his half. So we're going to have to.
Can you
we're
believe
probably going to have
shit?
To stop production.
Justin! What? I'm sorry. What? What? I'm out. I'm fucking dust in the wind. What did you guys do? Hey, Justin Smith
sorry.
Here. Hi. What happened with Reginald?
Oh, what? He, Reginald actually was trash talking you, and I just would not put up with that sort
hey,
of behavior.
You know
we would not stand for besmirching our
guys.
Good friend.
Friends yeah. like y'all really make. Let me.
You know.
He's fucking gone.
He was like,
he
oh,
let the
hey.
Door, he let the door open. I got a dog here. Fuck.
Yeah, right?
God. Sorry,
you know,
guys.
He wanted him and Dan to run off and do a podcast together. You know.
Ridiculous.
Called Reginald Party, and it's just, no.
It's like, come on,
I heard
Reggie.
Somebody really likes your New York voice.
Oh, yeah, it's me.
No.
Bada big, bada boom.
You have heard that
I heard, I've had two listeners, and you know who you are, viewers. They want.
He's gonna gut
they
this.
Want more.
They're never gonna
they
know.
They want more of those sweet dulcet tones.
We know who's playing let's, announcer next time.
Let's.
Yeah, we do.
Hey guys, hey, you get in this corner. You get in this corner. Bada big, bada boom. I want to see no rough stuff. Everything above the belts. You know what I'm saying? Bada big, bada boom, baby.
Oh, that would be pretty great.
we could do disguises going back to the CHC.
Mm. You totally could.
Reginald
that's,
and
that's
Baby B.
That's where we are, right? We're in well, a field, and we're deciding we've got Tootsie.
I think
he's
our,
a little.
I think our Dungeon Master might want to get a hold of this podcast and tell us where we are.
You got it pretty accurate there. We are picking it up where you two plus Tootsie are standing in a field with three chips and just having learned how to activate the chips to create the portal. You guys are prepared to go wherever you see fit.
Bunch of assholes.
Bringing along an incapacitated Tootsie.
Is he stable?
Yeah, should we like sing to him?
You guys haven't really checked him yet. It was more of a, oh my god, we have to get out of this room before 1,000 people
I'd like
try
to
and
do,
stomp us.
I'd like to do some I guess it's going to be a medicine check.
That's the one.
I'm going to be punching the ground over about 10 feet
I
away.
I love it when we roll for things.
You're punching the ground?
Yeah, still a little. I'm not ready.
You're still. Are you still seeing red? Ooh.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not ready. Like we literally walked through the portal. I literally just killed a man.
Yep.
The first one, like a real.
I
man.
Had a calm conversation with my DAPA.
He had a calm conversation. I'm not ready to just like walk off what happened last time on Half Party.
Okay. You
half
are
party.
Punching. I need
get caught up in
the- I need a D20 roll.
I just rolled one for a medicine. Oh, you're doing the punch. D20. Punch.
Yeah, how did that medicine check go?
That was a 16.
Oh, great. So you see that he is he's pretty out of it at this point. And you know from having seen people unconscious before, the longer they're unconscious, the more dangerous it is for them.
Right.
And you recognize that he's been out for a while. But with your medicine check, I think that 16 gets you enough to stabilize him.
All right.
To where he's more just deeply resting rather than just flat out of it. He's whimpering a little bit, but he's breathing normally. He seems to have some life in him.
Okay, then. So that's me. If you want to remedy this whole punching check,
yeah,
I'm assuming we're not adding anything to it.
Nope, just straight up nat 20.
Straight up nat. Wait. Well, it wasn't nat.
Ah.
it was a 17.
Okay, I was just trying to see if you hit any rocks, but you were totally okay. Fine. Just hitting soft dirt and grass. No damage to the weapons.
I. Mm-hmm. So now that I've crouched down, I'm going to notice that my friend is a little bit distraught. And I'd like to just go over to him, not too close because he's punching. I just want to hunker down. I'm like, hey, little guy.
Did you do that in a whisper?
Yeah. Hey, little guy.
Oh, yeah, my head spins around real quick.
Easy.
Like real disgruntled looking, and I'm staring
Sun's
at you.
Sun's getting real low, little guy. Just come on.
And like, my face kind of twitches a bit.
It's, can I grab the music box from my DAPA?
Yeah.
And I take it out and I'm gonna open it and be like, it's alright. It's alright. Shit got real crazy back there. And you did real good.
And the soothing sound of that music box starts to wash over you. Make a We'll do a wisdom saving throw with advantage.
Can I?
Because
can,
of the music box calming effect.
I was going to say, I'd like to hum maybe a little bit.
And then wisdom check is going to be... that's a 15 on wisdom check.
Okay. And you had that red right hand cocked and ready to go.
Oh.
And as you look down, Merrick, you see that this is Solo is not there. His eyes are...
Solo's not home right now.
Wild. But as this music starts to calm him a little bit, you see his fist relax, his shoulder drop a little bit.
Hey, hi there. It's okay. It's all right. Let's just sit here for a few moments. I'm just going to hum a little bit to you. I've got the flute. If we all remember from two episodes ago, I'm not too bad at it.
Welcome to NBR.
I'm just gonna be a little bit of ditty, just a soothing, haunting.
Wait, did you say ditty?
Haunting melody. Just there, right there, just like that.
Paint a happy little tree.
That's right.
And Solo, how does that affect you?
Calming down. Are you calming down?
Breathing. You know, giving a chance to process. And I'm gonna point at Tootsie.
He's okay.
With a questioning look on my face.
He's all right. You got him out just in time. You saved him. You made that happen.
And I'm gonna with one fist kind of like wipe my eye real quick and just kind of turn around and just kind of stand there quietly.
I'm gonna let him sit for a second and maybe made another second, and then I'm gonna say, "Do you want a hug?"
And I'm gonna shake my head no.
And I just see the back of his head just shake. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go over here with Tootsie. And when you're ready, we're going to go back to our room in the CHC and maybe we can find a speaker.
And I kind of shrug. So you see my back, like just a little tiny shrug.
Yeah, that's good. You just let me know. I'm going to make sure that he doesn't bleed out or die here.
And you see me shake my head like, yes, like you should do that.
Yeah, I'll do that.
But the back of my head, of course.
Of course, the back of I'm fine. I'm fine talking to the back. I know it's not me that you're mad at, so you can be as mad as you want, but I know it's not me. And I go back to Tootsie and play a little flute.
And a little time passes as Solo, you're able to calm down and come to grips with the extreme emotions that you've recently gone through. Merrick, you're watching over Tootsie and making sure that he's making his recovery and not worsening in his condition. After a little while passes, you guys both feel pretty ready to make the trip, and you reach into your pocket, you pull out the incantation for casting that spell.
Right.
And, yeah, give me an intelligence check.
Would you say that I feel like I'm 39 out of 39, just hypothetically speaking?
No.
Okay.
Is it Arcana, or is it just straight Int?
Arcana, yeah.
Oh, that's good, because I'm good at Arcana. Good. That's a 21.
Okay, so yeah, being not a spellcaster, it's a pretty difficult task for you. You're sounding out the words. You've seen runes before. You know the sounds go with them. It's like trying to read Cyrillic.
Vrata.
Like,
Vrata.
Yeah, you have one slip up of a word. You start over again, and eventually...
I'll get it. It's fine.
You're able to get it. It's great. So you guys see in front of you as the spell's cast, the twisting interplanar space, and are ready to jump in.
Right. You want to...
Medic!
What?
Are we doing this?
Yeah, we're going to go back. We got to get Tootsie healthy, and we can't do that right now.
Medic. Yeah. And I'm gonna put my hand out for a handshake.
I take his hand with my delicate... half-elf fingers.
And I'm gonna pull you down a little bit.
I hunker down a little bit. I'm like, yeah.
Merrick, we're doing this. And we're gonna find out what Eustace is doing. And we're gonna make sure shit like this doesn't happen to people like Tootsie ever again. Is that clear, Merrick?
Yeah, I'm on fucking board. Like, where you go, I go, right?
We're fucking doing this, Merrick.
Yeah, just the two of us.
And then I, like, let go. And I, like, hit my heart with my fist. And we're just fucking... I just walk into the portal.
Hey, can you help with Toots?
I'm gone. I can't hear
you. He's fucking gone. What I'd like to do is take the crowbar and maybe like roll him in. Just want to roll him in.
Because I can't drag him without fucking Solo. He just... God, he wants it. He's on his fucking high horse.
Is the portal still open on my end?
No.
Like, does time like, go by? And I'm like, where the fuck is
Eric? It's a one-way portal. One-way portal. It's in the ceiling. So, Solo, what happens is you fall through your interplanar space. You slow fall out and drop into your room. The portal appears to be on the ceiling. In your room that you'd stated previously in the CHC.
This is good. I'm going to get a bed mattress and put it under the portal.
Okay. And as you do, you rip the mattress off your lower bunk and place it pretty centered on underneath this.
You hear
the portal.
Solo can't hear me, but I'm like, don't want shit like this to happen to people. Well, how about help this happening to people? We're going to talk about portal etiquette right now, especially when we've got fucking half-conscious... half-works... God! Tootsie!
America, are you ready for your favorite strength check?
That's right.
With advantage.
Yeah, crowbar.
Crowbar.
Crowbar advantage.
It's a simple tool. It's a lever.
It's called leverage.
Try the proper leverage.
And I did hear you correctly when you said it's a strength check.
Yes.
So with advantage. It's
definitely not a charisma check. You're not charisma.
We're not athletic.
I didn't ask. I'm working. Like, it's new. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new me. Thank God I had advantage, because the first one was a 2, which would have been a 1. If we're just talking strength.
If we're
just talking strength, not athletic move.
Straight talk express.
So the 13 that turns into a 12 is much better.
Okay, that is much better.
Feeling froggy.
It takes you a little while, probably about a minute and a half.
Oh, it does.
Even though it's right next to you. Like,
what could have at least fucking helped?
At one point, you're working on one end. You finally get his legs going, but then you realize you're kind of spinning him around.
Oh, no. Not like this. Oh, God.
You find the center of gravity. You eventually hoist him in. And Solo, you're waiting for what feels like a very long time for these guys to come through this portal.
A little concerned that the portal will even stay open that long.
I'm going to check around the, like, I'll wait for a while because I thought he was coming.
Laundry.
But I guess I want to check the door, make sure it's, locked.
Yeah. And just as you guys had left it, the door is locked.
I'm going to, I want to tear apart this room. I don't trust the room. I want to make sure, there's nothing going on in here.
Okay. As you start to look through things, you look through the wardrobe, you find some simple personal items, underwear, socks, that kind of thing. And then as you're going to the small desk that is at the foot of your bunk beds, you see, you hear behind you this eerie rush of wind, and then all of a sudden you turn around just as Tootsie's prone body just flops into this mattress, and then a few seconds later, followed by Merrick, I need a dexterity saving throw.
I was about to say, never mind.
Yes,
I'll say it the next time we go through a portal, because we've been through like 2 or 3 portals now with the fist in the air, But I didn't say it.
But she also
I rushed you on that one.
No, you're good. 18 is dex straight up. Dex?
Yeah.
That's fine. That's something I can do as long as it's not strength.
Floating fist.
The dex is to not hit Tootsie.
That's 25. Is it a save or a check?
Just a check.
Then it's just going to be 22.
Okay, yeah. You land feet astride of Tootsie, no problem. And as you land, you actually lean down and you straighten out his head and make him more comfortable.
Ooh,
like in one motion.
Baby it's right here. It's fine. Hi.
This very aggressive, very caring move.
It's like a straddle, a straddle with a very gentle.
Merrick!
Yeah. What?
Aren't you glad I put the mattress down for Tootsie?
And there's this, there's this time where Merrick is just softly straightened his head and he looks up with one eye and he cocks an eyebrow at his mate and he's like, yeah, that was very smart of you. Thank you. And I'm just gonna, step off and just sit down because I'm sweating. I'm still fully made up, I imagine. And it's I'm in a disarray.
Yeah, the makeup is all kinds of messed up at this point.
Oh, you're still wearing the outfit?
Oh yeah, it's not like we had time to fucking change. I'm just, my hair has fallen on one side, very flat. My mascara is running because of the fucking sweat. I look like a goddamn raccoon. And these heels are killing me.
They're flats. Yeah, and as you land, you oh man, what is going on? There's this whirl of wind as the portal closes behind you. And then you hear at the door.
Did you order housekeeping? What did you?
No, did you? And I hand Merrick some of the clothes from the dresser.
Oh, that's very thoughtful. I'm going to get the
it's
door.
It's just underwear and socks.
Yeah, no, that's all I'm
And I'm going to hold him up. And I'm going to be like, thanks. Do you want to get the door? Or should I?
No, I'll get the door, Merrick.
All right.
And I puff up my chest, go over to the door, and I just open it.
And as you swing it open, you see a very small gnome, a withered old man who's got a very long, thin beard that hangs almost to his knees. Really, that's about a foot and a half from his chin to his knees. And with white, long, disheveled hair. And he goes, "Hi, I'm Taylor Cornelius."
Hello, Taylor Cornelius. I'm Solo.
I know.
Good.
That's why I'm here.
Good.
Is there Merrick? Anything that we can do for you, Taylor?
Taylor Cornelius.
We just got back. You know, we got that. You're here for us.
I'm here to say welcome.
Home?
Sure.
Would you? Well, you got like a welcome package?
Could I offer you some socks? I feel like we're a bit indisposed for hosting company at the moment.
Well, I should tell you right now that I, Taylor Cornelius,
yes,
am covering for everyone.
Excuse me.
Taylor.
Yes.
We'll be right. We're just going to turn around.
Hi, Taylor Cornelius. We'll wait right here for your immediate return.
I will be right back. And I kind of like
I hunker
walk
down
over to Merrick.
I'm like,
do you think he means like everyone in the whole like CHC?
I feel like one thing we know about Taylor Cornelius in these first impressions is that he's quite literal. So I think,
I think the one thing we know is that his name is Taylor Cornelius. Like, that's the
okay, you're right. So
sure.
That's the one thing for sure. Maybe a second thing. I think, yes. Do you want to keep this going?
I mean, we can.
No, I think, like, you should
talk
to
him. Oh, you mean the talking with Taylor or the you and me talking?
I'm so much taller than him. I feel like you...
I'll talk to him.
You're very good at talking. It's always worked out well.
I kind of puff up my chest and I go, Taylor?
Yes, it's me, Taylor Cornelius.
I'm Solo, the Hillthorpe.
You are, I know that.
And he's Taylor Cornelius, did you hear
I am Taylor Cornelius.
And together, we are Solo and Taylor.
And Merrick and Tootsie.
Merrick and Tootsie.
It appears that your friend appears to be apparently not doing so well.
No.
And I lean in and I go, Taylor, do you have something in your beard that could make him better?
How about one of these?
And he reaches out his left hand and casts this green light that kind of billows around him. This small green leaf appears, and this green beam shoots out and lands on Tootsie. And Tootsie kind of wakes up and, where am I?
Tootsie, you're back. Oh, my God, we were so
through
worried.
The magic of me, Taylor Cornelius.
Taylor Cornelius just saved your life.
Oh, Tootsie, have you met Taylor?
Hi, I'm Taylor Cornelius. You're Tootsie.
That's right, that's
I've
Tootsie.
I've seen you.
He's not feeling too good, so we're just going to let him rest
a
little bit.
He looks terrible.
That's right. I'm just gonna put this music box on for him.
Lovely. I love those music boxes.
What can we do for you, Taylor?
Come with me. I'm here to take care of your every need.
You want us to leave
Taylor
Tootsie?
Taylor Cornelius.
Where's Eustace? Where's Mary?
It's Beach Week.
Everyone's gone for Beach Week, and they didn't even invite us. Wait a minute. Taylor
yes.
Cornelius. Does that mean we could have a house party?
We most possibly could.
Let's go to
but
the
it's light. Just us.
That's fine.
Right now.
Right now. We've got
That's
friends.
An excellent point.
We've got a portal.
Yeah, we've got these. And I hold up the chips.
Those are wonderful.
Taylor Cornelius, where...
Yes.
What does Eustace do with these?
He's making them into a larger thing.
Can you show us the larger thing, Taylor?
Nope. I don't have access to the room.
Could you show us where the room is? Because it's like when everyone's away, it's like when the hijinks happens and we kind of have a great story that Taylor Cornelius and Merrick and Solo de Hillthorpe all had zany times.
Oh, and Tootsie. This could be great. Well, I suggest that we leave the Tootsie here.
No, he definitely is tired. We don't need him to come with us.
Right. It wasn't a very strong healing spell.
Just one moment, and I'm gonna turn back to Tootsie. I'm like, Tootsie, can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're gonna put you on the bottom bunk, okay?
Okay.
And you're gonna sleep and you're gonna listen to this music box.
That sounds like a very good plan.
We're gonna make sure you don't have to say anything else after this.
Medic, we should probably put the mattress back on the bunk.
I thought you ripped... Oh, I guess you did. You can't reach the top one.
I can't reach... Merrick. Merrick.
Okay, well, help me. I pull the
top... What an insensitive comment.
and I'm going to walk out into the hallway. That's pretty insensitive.
All these talking. You're being so rude.
Oh, come on.
I know,
you
Taylor.
You jump and climb on things all the time. Don't come at me about... And now I'm struggling to get my mattress down from the top. And I'm going to put it on there. I'm like, just come on, Toots.
And Tootsie crawls up onto
That's
the bed.
Right, there you go. And I would like okay. I'd like to do a tuck-in check. Is that dexterity?
I believe that's going to be sleight of hand, yeah.
That's good. 23 for the tuck.
And it's nice. It's tight, but not too tight. And you do a gentle rest of your hand on his shoulder while he falls asleep, and then a gentle pat.
You're a good lad.
As he drifts off.
You're a good
Those
lad.
Those hospital bed pop. Corners. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it had to be a 21 for hospital bed corners. All right, so I'm going to have the music box there. I'm going to step out into the hall and join my little friends.
Well, would you like to go shopping?
Wait, Taylor, like, you could sell us stuff?
Yes.
Taylor,
I'm not very good at it.
Could we?
Shopping?
But I can do it. Could
do
we
the
just?
The magic of Taylor Cornelius.
Could we just
Wait,
have
and I
it?
Check my pockets.
What are you looking for?
Money.
We have 3 bags left. Unless I gave one to Dapa.
Oh, you had gold left?
You did not give one to Dapa.
Okay. And we never got our money from Sisk.
No, we gave away 200 gold.
Right.
To bet on me, which I won. So we might want to send, like, Tootsie back to get our money at some point.
I think if Tootsie goes back, they're not going to let him go. There is a dead body in Harold's room right now.
And Tootsie's missing. Oh, man.
I mean, we're missing two.
Yeah, but, like, we're, like, part-timers, you know? Like, he was full-time employee.
I think everyone's aware that we... I mean, remember what I did to that wizard in the first round?
Oh. Yeah, okay. Right. Okay, that makes sense.
So, back to the question of money. I'd like to look in those 3 sacks of gold of what we've got.
It's all chocolate.
250 gold in each sack for a total of 750.
Excellent. And I just give Solo... 500 of it, and I take 250 because he's the champion. And
he does have the belt,
right? I remember he took the belt, or does he not? I don't. Maybe I misremembered.
No, I did. I punched. Yes, because I also used it as a weapon.
Oh right.
Yes, that was very explicit.
Yeah.
All right. So I give Solo 500 of the 750. I take 250. And Taylor Cornelius?
Yes!
Let's go shopping.
Fantastic! Follow me, Taylor Cornelius!
And he casts Tensor's floating disc and just floats along in front of you guys.
So he's just floating on his own disc.
Yep.
How much taller is he than me now?
It's like 6 inches off the ground. He's still shorter than you. Hey everybody, Bjorn here with your mid-episode break. I want to start off by saying thank you so much to those of you who donated to our Movember Foundation team. We did great, and it was really awesome to have your support. Super appreciated. And yeah, we had a great time doing it. A lot of fun with shaving weird shapes into our mustaches, and yeah, we had a blast. And we raised some money for a good cause. So thank you all. And yeah, as always, thank you so much to at Madly My Own. It's Molly Doan who did our cover art, and RGB the band who do our great, awesome, super great break and outro music. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's get back to it. And you guys make your way down the hall and take a right.
Is it eerily quiet in the CHC?
It's super quiet. As you're going, the motion-sensing lights, or motion-sensing torches, of course, light as you go through the hallways. You see to your left the tattoo parlor.
Empty. Parlor, nobody's right? home.
Yeah, it was a
nobody's
parlor. Home. It's a parlor.
Yeah, there's no lights on inside. Everything's closed down. Roger Mini isn't there right now. Yeah, that's right. Name dropping. Because I got that.
Anyone who appreciates the name dropping that our dungeon master just did can go to half-party.com. And I don't. It's been a while since I've talked about the website, but
half-party.com.
Exactly. Go there and say hi or something.
And you across the hallway, just down a little ways, you see the store where Taylor Cornelius. Quickly floats over the counter and levitates up to where he can see you. He says,
"Well, this is the tricky part. I have these."
And there he pulls out these two little beetles that appear to be made of brass. He says,
"We can fetch two things, but I need bin numbers."
I make a...
Roll a percentile dice.
Yeah. Which one's that?
Who's going first?
You go first, Solo.
That's this one and a this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're both D10s.
What? D10s?
That's what they both are.
Yeah, essentially.
Oh. Okay.
What'd you get?
What did you get?
Hypothetically speaking, when I rolled hypothetical things, Taylor...
Yes.
I don't know. I'm 27.
27? That might be overpowered.
What?
No,
come on,
I mean, that's
27.
Perfect. Come on, it's fine. Let's just break
give
the
it,
game a little bit.
Give it to a mentally sound individual. Oh, he's changing it up. Viewers, if you need to go to half-party.com and sign a petition to give Solo the overpower item that he so well deserved with his 27.
And the beetle... floats up, and he says,
27!
And the beetle flies through these long, long aisles that are behind him. And as it flies through, you see this shimmer as a wall that it passes through. Appears to be some sort of magical protection. And it floats down the aisle. You see it search for a second and pick up this long, oh no, brown... package.
Manic, do you see that package over there?
Yeah, it looks round
and long.
It looks about the size of like a loaf of bread, maybe a baguette.
So it's
but wrapped in brown
paper.
Smaller
than a bread box.
Smaller, longer than a bread box.
It's a baguette.
And as this...
Marie, the baguettes!
As this beetle flies back towards you guys, you see it hit this wall and shatter. And the package drops to the ground and rolls behind the counter where you can't quite see it. And you see Taylor Cornelius drop down, grab this package, and reach over and open it, untie the string for you and present it to you, still wrapped in paper.
Should I wait for you to get yours?
No, open it up. Let's see what you got.
But, all right. Okay. And I'll open it up, but I want to be gentle.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to ruin the wrapping paper.
And as you do, you open up this
Are you trying to save the paper right now?
Hi.
A very simple, about 3 foot long, what looks to be a very dark, dark obsidian rod with two slightly larger caps at each end. And you pick it up and you see a small tag hanging from it. And you pick up the tag and you start to read it. And it says, this is the wand, the rod of absorption.
Rod of absorption. Medic, it's some sort of rod of absorption.
That's what she said, right? That's what I'm saying, Solo.
The rod While of holding this rod, you can use a reaction to absorb a spell that is targeting only you and not with an area of effect. The absorbed spell's effect is canceled, and the spell's energy, not the spell itself, is stored in the rod. The energy has the same level as the spell when it was cast. The rod can absorb and store up to 50 spells. This is not a short one.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it, and then maybe you could, I don't know, send me the information.
Yeah, I will.
I can't take this note.
Taylor, that's an amazing rod.
Can I use it to smack things, too?
Yeah.
Solid granite.
And then the final note is, can testing still works, can be used to smack things.
It's heavy is a good sign of reliability.
And Taylor says, wow, what a magnificent treasure.
That really is a magnificent treasure.
Gold,
so.
Please.
So just a quick question.
And I set it down on the counter.
Do you not like that?
I thought he said gold.
No, he said roll.
No, gold, rolled. Please.
No, he said gold, please,
How much
medic.
Gold do you need?
I don't know. This isn't my shop.
Well, I feel like 100 gold seems fair.
I'll put 200 down just to be, you know, diligent.
That sounds great. I'll leave it here for them.
And he's got 200 gold for me.
Roll. You flip over the back of the...
Tag says 12,000 gold.
It says 9,000 gold.
Okay, cool. I did a good thing. I put 200 down.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna take the tag off, and I'm gonna put the tag in my pocket.
Okay, I'll take a picture of what the tag says and send it to you.
Perfect.
Cool. And you, Merrick, which one would you like?
I would be curious.
Would be Taylor Cornelius.
If your scarab could find something in particular.
Not very well. I don't know what's back there. We need to go by the bay numbers. Play my game.
All right, Taylor. I just thought that maybe if we wished hard enough...
That do you have a wish spell?
That little scarab could do what it needed to do. All right. If I'm reading this correctly, I've got to 23.
23!
It's like a 27.
That bay is empty.
All I'm really looking for. I got 20. Well, how great if I got 27. It's like, ooh. All I'm looking for is that amulet of health. That would be wonderful. I wish Scarab finds an amulet of health. Dear Scarab, Saint Scarab.
All right. Taylor Cornelius releases the scarab, it flies through. You see the wall shimmer again. You see it buzz down, search, finds a package. This time, it is another package wrapped in brown paper with twine. And it's about the size of a large notebook. It appears to be a wrapped garment. And it picks it up and... flies it back. It disintegrates as it tries to go back through the wall and drops the package. And Taylor picks it up and unties the string and sets it in front of you. He says, here you go.
Merrick, save the paper.
Oh, okay. I'd like to open it where I save the paper.
Okay, you delicately open it. And inside, you see a robe.
Ooh, a robe.
Jamaica. Oh, not Aruba.
Not
okay,
Aruba.
Sorry.
A robe.
You see a robe. And this robe appears to have several different colors twisted around each other in this almost smoke-like pattern. You see a label just near the neck of the robe And it says, the robe of scintillating colors. So this robe has three charges, and it regains 1d3 expended charges daily at dawn. When you wear it, you can use an action to expend one charge and cause the garment to display a shifting pattern of dazzling hues until the end of your next turn. During this time, the robe sheds bright light in a 30-foot radius and dim light for an additional 30 feet. Creatures that can see you have disadvantage on attack rolls against you. In addition, any creature in the bright light that can see you when the robe's power is activated must succeed on a DC 15 wisdom saving throw or become stunned until the effect ends.
Whoa.
Manric, that's a very, you know, wordy tag.
Yeah.
Make sure you keep that in your pocket.
I've got it right here. Got the tag right here.
Tested. The last note says tested. 20,000 lumens.
What is the price tag on the back of that?
On the back of it, it says 7,500 gold. And Taylor Cornelius says, gold, please!
I give him 125 gold.
Thank you. That seems right.
That seems right, doesn't it?
It all together, and he's writing a little note, and he puts it behind the counter. And he says,
great! What wonderful shopping trip!
That was wonderful, Taylor Cornelius. Thank you.
Should we check your mail?
Do we have mailboxes?
Taylor. What?
Of course.
Of course. Let's go.
I just start marching in the direction that I think the mail might be.
And Taylor says, where are you going? That's the exact wrong way.
I'm sorry. I'm just so excited about the mail, Taylor.
He floats up over the counter and heads back down the hall. And he follows a path that you guys recognize as going back to Eustace Fitzwilliam's study with all the books.
Right. The library.
Dun, dun.
Yeah. And as you guys are going through the library, Taylor's going,
I'd like to
humming along.
I'd like to try and make a stealth check to disappear in the library.
Okay.
I'm going to hum along.
Yeah, go ahead and roll your stealth check. As the dog's free.
Disadvantage.
Yeah, so Merrick, you failed because of all these dogs barking at you.
I forgot. The whole place is just... This is now the CHC for dogs.
Yeah, there's a week where just dogs take over for a bit.
Yep.
So they go to the beach.
That's what everybody does with Beach Week. You go away and you leave a bunch of dogs in your house.
Well, you rent the dogs. Like the dogs want a place to do their operations, you know, for their chip hunting.
Right. They need
Chihuahuas.
Exactly.
And
you got a bunch of bouncers, which are German shepherds.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got some barbarian dogs or Rottweilers.
Ooh, St. Bernards.
Yep, which are, I believe, clerics.
Yeah, no, they definitely heal the shit out of some bitches.
They really do.
He's not here for it.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, I rolled a 29 for my stealth.
29.
19 on the dice, plus 10.
So you actually went back and you erased all traces of you even having ported into this building.
That's
like
right.
You are,
I got
no one
back.
Knows that you're there. Yeah, you went back and you erased like the deep history on the web. Like no one has any idea that you ever existed. And you slink off. The lights are, as soon as you walk into the library, the lights gently come on all over, but they're casting shadows. It's very easy for you to slink into the shadows, and we'll resolve that when we get there. And after humming for a little while, Taylor Cornelius finds what he's looking for, which is these larger, they almost look like encyclopedias, these huge, big, thick encyclopedias. And he pulls one out, and you can see on the spine in gold lettering, it says Merrick St. John and Solo de Hillthorpe.
Wait, both of our names on one book?
Mm-hmm.
And- oh, man, that's cool. Don't die.
Sorry.
No, you just got the book out.
Oh, my goodness. It's a lot of dust in here.
And he pulls out this big book and holding it in both hands. He kind of gestures to you to open it as he's holding it in front of you on its side.
Is he on top of anything? Like, can I get to him?
He floats down in front of you. He's offering it to you.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. And I, you know, like, tentatively... put my hands forward, and I open the book.
And as you do, the lid of the book opens, and it's carved out inside, like your general secret Heidi books. And inside...
Taylor, this is so cool!
You see a large pouch. And a note attached to the pouch. A small scroll. And Taylor says,
"Where's Merrick?"
"Merrick had to check on Tootsie."
"Probably a good idea. He didn't look so good."
"No, he definitely was going to look like he was, you know," and I do finger to throat.
"Yeah, don't worry, though. I healed him. My name is Taylor Cornelius."
"Yes, and I'm Solo to Hillthorpe."
"Wonderful. Well, here you go. Take it."
Oh, and I grab the pouch with the note.
Okay, and he closes it back up and he puts the book back. Are you reading the note?
Yes. I'm going to, you know, I'll open it up and I'll read it
aloud. As you open up this... this note, you see it's actually a painting. It's finely done, with some wording at the top and in the top left and the bottom right. And the picture that you see is of you holding the belt with one foot on Fen Davenport, standing in the middle of the ring with the crowd around you going crazy with the ring intricate detail.
Mm-hmm. This is a beautiful painting.
And
do I see any signature like Sisk anywhere on there?
The note in the top left says, "Well done." And the signature in the bottom right says, "Sisk."
Hell yeah.
And in the pouch, as you open it up, is quite a sum of gold. About 2,000.
2,000 gold! My bet!
He goes, "Wow!"
And I kiss the painting. I'm like, "Sisk, you son of a bitch!
I'm not Sisk, I'm Taylor Cornelius."
"Glad I called that guy."
"But look at this, but look at this painting, Taylor Cornelius.
It's wonderful."
"That's me."
"You look great."
"Thank you."
And I just kind of like stare at the painting in awe.
Enjoying it. Just,
"Well, would you like to go get some food?"
"Yes." "Oh, Taylor, is there a way you can use the speakers to, you know, speak to the building? Because we don't know where Merrick is."
"They're
you know,
on Beach Week."
"Him. Oh, the speakers are on Beach Week too?"
"Of course."
Okay, let's go get food."
"Okay."
And he leads you out another door. Merrick, what are you doing in the shadows?
So I've got books all around me, right?
Yes. And in the center of the room is
that
round,
desk.
Well, it's a kind of a kiosk,
like a help desk.
Yeah, with the desk actually set into it a little bit. Books piled all around.
I broke off because I want to see if I can find, I guess, the access part to where it is. But also, I just figured since I was in this place, I want to find some books about Chips or something about Eustace. Anything that I can find to gather some information, because I'm all alone here. And I don't think I have to be... I want to be mindful of traps if there's any type of areas that look like I shouldn't go or anything. But I just want to explore a little bit because I've got time. And I'm looking in particular to sum up anything on Eustace. Anything about Chips, and for anything on my DAPA.
Okay. Roll investigation.
That's not so bad. That's a 18, 11 plus 7, because I'm a rogue in investigation.
How long do you want to spend looking for all this stuff? It's quite a list. And,
yeah,
you know.
I see. I'm fine being gone for an hour.
Okay.
Like I'm not rushed. Like,
yeah,
if
you
they
got
come
time.
Back, then they come back.
Yeah,
And I could slowly read out that letter. You know, way back. You know, hindsight. Like,
you begin your search in the shadows, very delicately, very quietly, listening to Taylor Cornelius and Solo.
And they get farther and farther away.
And yeah, you hear them. They leave and go to the commissary. I guess it's the cafeteria. And as you start to relax and start looking through the books, you peruse the aisles here a little bit. There's the rolling ladder that you
right, the magic one.
Get up and you play on that a little bit. You find large catalogs of all these different, it seems to be broken up, not like by the Dewey Decimal System, but more in a different planes system and what's contained in them. Then you have a general spell section and magic. And then you have deities, you have religions, you have a bunch of other kind of subsections. So as you're going through it, it's a large encyclopedic compendium of everything that could possibly be around. You also find some sections on like nonfiction and fiction, some history, and then you find some other just general nonfiction books. As you're going around, you do see that there is a door almost directly opposite the door that you entered, and that is finely carved. And appears to have a lot of intricate detail in a, oh, is it Art Nouveau style?
Art Deco?
The one that has all the long trees and gentle curves and...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That kind of stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. And you do notice that you go to the trees and natural formations that are carved into this door are... placed in such a way that they make the initials EF, and there's a large ornate handle on it. And as you approach it, you get this tingle in the back of your head that said, this is a line that would be crossed.
Noticed.
You notice it and kind of move along. What were the three things that you were looking for?
My dapa, okay. Stuff about chips, okay. And stuff about Eustace himself.
Okay. So the
probably Eustace and chips. I can find out. Like the Dapa's more like. I don't care as much about that, but I am curious because he didn't want to come to the CHC.
Right. You don't find anything about your Dapa.
Okay.
You do find a book on the chips, and you spend a good amount of time reading through it.
Okay.
You learn that they were they're called Fragments of the World. And they were originally once set in these large vases, and they were shattered millennia ago by a battle between gods and demons. And when they were shattered, this large release of magical energy flooded into the world and changed it into what you know it to be now. And the shattering of these vases spread them across the plains. As you get more and more engrossed in the story, it's a mix of history and embellished history. You read some stories about the battle. You read some stories about that. You flip a few more pages. Then you read about kind of the history of chip hunting and how it's been this monumental undertaking by several different groups. And none of them have ever been successful at putting a vase back together.
Who's the author of this?
It's unsigned. And
what a coincidence.
Dun, dun, dun. You find the last details of this book, kind of the last chapter, is a recounting of these attempts to rebuild the vases. And each time that they get closer and closer, there seems to be some form of divine intervention that intercedes in their progress to stop them from rebuilding the vases. No one knows exactly what they do when they're together.
The penitent man kneels before God.
The penitent man kneels before God. You mark this book. Do you want to take it with you?
Yes.
Okay. You stow that away, and you begin to look for
what is the title of it?
Eustace. Huh?
Did I hear the title, or are you going to get that back to me?
What did I call them?
The title of the book. I thought it was...
called it Fragments
of
the World.
Oh, Fragments of the World was the title.
I thought
chips were. Okay.
That's what they're called.
You took a gamble and was like, Fragments, that sounds like chips.
Bam.
Open. Oh, picture of chip.
Interesting. And as you search around for information on Eustace, you don't find much of anything. What you do find is eventually you make your way over to the desk.
Right.
And you do find that large leather-bound book that he was perusing when you first came in. And as you open it up, the pages appear to be blank. And you flip through, and each page is blank. There's no title. There's no marking at all. And you get a little frustrated and annoyed.
I solemnly swear I'm up to no good.
And you look and nothing happens.
Damn.
Oh. Thought that would be
eventually, after a few moments, at the corner of the page, you do see these black ink marks start to move. And they begin to swirl around the page, slowly tracing different shapes, and eventually settle into a nonsensical form. There's no discernible pattern, no logical arrangement to the way that these shapes are arranged. And as you flip through another page, you wait another few moments, and they appear again, but it's another nonsensical. Yeah.
Take the book. This is your conscience speaking. Do it. I'd like to see if there's any... I don't know if... We've never really dealt with Thieves' Cant. I don't know if... I know that there's a language to it, but I don't know if there's also like markings or symbols that could be on the desk and...
Gotcha. That's how we should use it going forward. If you want to be paying attention, if there's something obvious, I'll point it out.
Right.
But if you're looking for something more delicate...
We can talk with other thieves when we get there, but I think I want to have... I just never use... Like, it's a level 2 ability that I've never used. It's like, let's see. Right. Let's just be on a lookout for that, you know?
Okay. So, yeah, I think this is a really appropriate way to use that, especially as you're in here. You want to see if anybody else has been in here.
Right. Especially on my way back past his door.
Gotcha. So as you... are you taking this book with you?
I don't think I'm taking that book with me. I think that they're... I mean, wait. Taylor Cornelius never said how long Beach Week was, right?
Nope.
Or when we were in it.
Correct.
And Taylor could have said that you borrowed the book.
I'm just gonna do this real fast. I take the book.
All right. Sock the book away. You begin to look around for some other stuff. Your hour is pretty close to up that you want to be spending. You're like, okay, I'm going to go find out where they are at. And you do one more once over of the room. This time paying particular attention for...
Do you want me to roll again?
Thieves can't. Yes.
Oh, good. That's not so bad. 19.
Okay. As you're looking around, you hastily shove this book in your bag.
Yeah.
And you're looking around, and you thought you hear something down by Eustace's door, and you whip around to look at it, but as you do, the book falls out and hits the floor.
Fuck!
And you startled yourself, and as you lean down to pick it up, this book, you see under the desk these scratchings. They almost look like they'd be markings for measuring out
someone's height.
On measuring the building, the construction marks. But you recognize this as Thieves' Cant, and it's just the symbol for danger.
Because I had hesitation anyway, I put the book back where I got it. And I'll just put a little scratch that's a little bit newer. And I'll just do
less danger.
No, I'll just put. I like do the scratch for red.
Okay.
The color red. And then I'll leave that book, and then I think I'm going to go.
Give me a sleight of hand check.
You spilled out.
Great.
You spilled out blue.
Critical fail. Now, I am very good at sleight of hand, but it's still critical fail.
Okay. So it doesn't impede your ability to actually write your symbol for red. It was how well you can disguise it in with the other symbols. A commoner.
Fuck. It's like a sick figure of like two X's over a face. And it's like,
you see, you would say that, why did somebody just scratch this desk?
I'm just going to add Kilroy was here.
And, then you decide that it's about time to mosey on. Smash cut to the cafeteria, where you and Taylor Cornelius, are going through that. You make your way into the empty cafeteria, and the lights come on. There's no, everything's clean, everything's set where it's supposed to be, and they you both just go around behind the counter. He says, "What would you like to eat?"
Taylor, what do they got behind the counter?
I don't know.
Do you have, like, the Beatles to just get food from back?
I doubt.
Milkshakes, Taylor.
Milkshakes, delicious. I'll go get the milk.
Aye.
You get the ice cream.
Aye. And I kind of, like, look confused. Which direction should I go?
Start looking.
Okay.
Full investigation. And Taylor Cornelius also just starts rifling through different spots.
That is...
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Oh, that's a zero. Okay. That's a 10.
Okay. You take a little while to find. You opening, like, little cupboards underneath.
Cereal boxes.
Yeah, you find a bunch of, like, dry goods. You find you find the disposal bins. You find a whole bunch of stuff. Eventually, you find the freezer.
Nice.
And there are some small tubs of ice cream. And you're able to pick out your favorite flavor, which is
mint chip.
And there's a big hair in it.
Oh, is it? I put it back. Is there any Cinnabon?
There does appear to be a small container of Cinnabon, and you snag that.
I'm going to take that one instead.
Okay. As you turn around, it's a walk-in freezer. And as you turn around to leave the walk-in freezer, in front of you appears to be
the ghost?
Tiny cat with long fangs sticking out of its mouth. And off the back of its head, long furred arms with what appear to be not tentacles, but a grabber on the back. Roll a history check.
It's a rickshaw. Oh
God, that's a 13 plus. Yeah, that's a 13.
You used to use these creatures as like ghost story fodder. They're creepy and scary.
Yep.
This is a displacer beast kitten, and it stand there looking at you, and it
meow. Is there any ice cream next to me?
You've got ice cream in your hand.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna take the lid off and put a little bit of the ice cream on the cap.
Uh-huh.
And I'm gonna set the cap right in front of it.
Give me an animal handling check.
Ooh, God.
With advantage because of the ice cream.
That's a.
I really want this to work.
Okay. Cool. That's a 17 plus 3. That's a 20. That's a mod 20.
Oh, nice. And the kitten nuzzles your hand as you put this little tray of ice cream down and begins to lap at it.
Do I get the vapors, like, personally?
The vapors?
I do declare. Like, when he nudges my hand.
I'm wilting like a
You're Twitter-pated? Like, bam, like
yes.
Thumper? Yeah. 100%. It's super cute. And the little tentacle things that are coming off the back of its head seem more like extra tails a little bit, and they kind of wave around a little bit. And you see it blink from one side.
One of the tails?
No, it's entire. It winks out of your view.
Existence?
And then pops back in like a foot next to it and around the other side, and it walks back to the ice cream and begins to lick it again. You've got a displacer beast kitten now.
I'm a pet him.
And he seems to like that a lot. He starts to purr a little bit. And Taylor Cornelius comes over.
I found the milk. What the hell is that?
Shh, 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 shh. Taylor.
What?
This is my friend.
Who?
How many tails does he have?
Two. Well, he's got a regular tail and then the two tendrils.
The two tendrils? Okay.
This is my friend.
What's his name?
And his name is...